And welcome back to Coast, and welcome back to another hour of Open Lines. Plus, I want you to share your horrid story with us. All of that started, of course, by the story of the poor lady who had a cockroach in her ear for 9 days. Ooh, that just gives me the willies. And welcome back to Coast. We're back with Open Lines, and here we go. Let's go to Linda in Windsor, Canada. Hey, Linda.
Hi, George. I wrote this years ago. I was kind of afraid to sing it on the, you know, sing it to you. And when I heard you and Tommy on, I goes, I'm going to do it.
You wrote a little song, huh?
Yeah. Well, it goes to like, I walk the line.
Okay.
Okay. You've got a way to keep us on your side. You give us truths of life that's hard to find. And happiness, we've known proof that it's right. Because you're fine, we call your line. We find it very, very easy to be true. On Coast is when we talk to you. Yes, we'll admit that we are fools for you. Because you're fine, we call your line on Coast. Thanks for your time. Then, okay.
Hey, you've got a great voice.
Well, I get it from you, listening to the show and talking.
Did you have
my
you?
I'm nervous as hell, believe me, but I it's from my heart, and we appreciate you and Tommy what you do, and we love your show.
Hey, what's new in Windsor these days? I miss Windsor. I used to go there all the time when I was living in Detroit.
Well, we had an earthquake a couple of weeks ago.
A little one.
A little tiny tremor. Yes, we did.
Hey, is the Elmwood Casino still there?
No, it is now Brentwood. I remember going to the Elmwood. You remember that, eh?
I do. I knew the people who owned it, the Shaneth family.
Yeah.
You remember that?
From the Rooster Tail.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, they had a home here on Riverside Drive.
Yep, they sure did. They were friends with Jerry Hodak. Remember Jerry?
Yes, I do, from CKLW.
Yep.
WXYZ.
He was at XYZ. He was at JBK with me, the TV2, before that. He was the weather guy. He was our weather guy. Then he went over to Channel 7.
I don't, you know what, it's something, I don't remember you. That's
no, I was behind the scenes. I was an executive producer there. I wasn't on TV in Detroit, so you wouldn't have seen me.
Ah, but we all know those people, don't we?
Yes, we do. Great, great folks.
Swinging Summertime.
Do you remember Joe Weaver? He was one of the great reporters at Channel 2. He passed away today.
His
people got a hold of us and
let me know. Well, rest in peace, Mr. Weaver.
Yeah.
We loved Detroit. We were so close. We were a border town. Actually, it feels like we lived Detroit. Detroit at that one time was supreme. Right? Don't you agree, George?
The mother of my kids, my high school sweetheart wife, when I married her, I was 20, she was 19, was born in Windsor.
Really?
Yep, and then they went to the United States, but she was born in Canada.
Well, you know, dual citizenship, but good people. We are good people.
Yeah, no doubt.
I do love America. I do.
Is the Chrysler plant still out that way?
What's that, dear?
The Chrysler plant still out that way?
No,
they're making cars there anymore?
Well, yes, the Chrysler is, but it's not like the big three like it was.
Not in those days. No, they're gone.
No, and that's a big mistake. They should have kept it. Well, they're trying to bring it back now. Especially like Ford's is more on the top. Yes, it was we reigned supreme. If they would have kept it, you know, like it would have. Oh God, I couldn't imagine how popular. Because actually, Michigan or Detroit was up on the rise. Like they had everything.
Yeah, they
it
did.
It was just a big major. I think it was getting maybe too big.
And you're listening to me on CKLW, right?
No, right yes, there. I am.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, God, yes, I do.
What a great station. Let me tell you a funny story. Years ago, do you remember when it was that rock station and they would have 2020 news on CKLW?
Yes.
This is 2020 news. Well, my friend was the news director, Byron McGregor,
Yes,
and he's
Joe Shuddy, yes.
Yep, and Byron died, but he was the one who recorded The Americans that Gordon Sinclair wrote. But he was the news director at CKLW.
Yes, he
I was a reporter at a radio station in Detroit, but I wanted to go to the Big 8 because that was the huge station at the time.
Yes, it
was. And
you're
I tried to get in there, and he kept saying, yeah, I was like 21 years old, and he said, George, you're just not our style yet. Your voice isn't rockish. And I said, I'm going to get on your station one day, Byron. I'm going to get there, and here I am. Now I'm on it.
Listen, we'd start a war if you got off of it. No, you're darn. I said, Coast to Coast Show, you keep that on. I just called them a couple of weeks ago saying, don't you dare, take it off.
No, they won't. They won't.
No,
they love us.
That's exactly what he said. He goes, no. And I wish, it's incredible. I wish you could have been, because it was rock and roll and, like the big 8-0.
They would have the musicians from the United States during the rock days would go there first to launch their records across the country.
Yeah.
That's how big that station was when it came to music.
Yes, I agree.
All right. Thanks, Linda.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. It's a huge station now. I mean, 50,000 watts. It beams everywhere, into Detroit, all over the place. Let's go to St. Joseph, Missouri. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Oh, Joe, please call me Joseph. I'll call you Dad. Not that you're not somebody's dad, but you're not mine.
I am somebody's dad, but definitely not yours.
How you doing now, brother?
Okay, Joe, how about you?
Hey, I had a young guy I was talking to when I answered the phone, when I called to answer the phone.
Good guy. That's Tommy.
He was talking about somebody go to sleep and they dream and they die and they're sleeping, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Scary stuff.
Huh?
Scary stuff.
Well, there's a show I really like. It's a movie. It's a fantasy movie. And it's one of my favorite movies. I really like it. It's called Dreamscape.
Yes. Same kind of theory, isn't it?
Yes, with the Max Fonsito.
Yep.
And it's got the Eddie Albert in, I think it is. He plays a president.
Yep.
It's a really good movie.
They tried to get into the president's dreams to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a scary movie.
That was a really good movie. I've got it on my DVR right now. I mean, but I've seen it a couple of times. I'd like to get it on DVD. I think it was made back in the 80s, I think.
I'm sure you can find it on DVD. Go to Amazon and put it in there. Somebody's selling it.
Yeah, but I'm saying that thing was made back in the 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's a really good movie. Because
Eddie Albert's not alive anymore, so it was way back.
I didn't know Albert.
He was in Green Acres, remember?
Yeah. He's passed away?
I'm pretty sure.
And Art Bell, I didn't know he was gone either.
Yeah, he passed away.
How long has Art Bell been gone?
He died on Friday the 13th this month. I mean, in April.
Really?
April, yeah.
Oh, it's just been recent.
A couple weeks ago.
Oh, I didn't know anything about it until you said something.
Yeah, some people are just hearing about it. I went to my laundromat today, the guy who owns the cleaning company, and he just found out about it as I was leaving. Okay. He said, your predecessor died. And I said, yeah. And off I went.
Well, I give him a word. Everybody who passes away is not going to be saved, and that's so sad,
Well, you gotta do your righteous things because one day you're gonna meet your maker.
Yeah, that's right. People say they don't believe in hell. Well, I guarantee you this. You look at it this way: once you're dead, game over. Because if you're not,
you better be ready for it.
Huh?
You better be ready for it, Joe. Thanks for calling, Tom. Text or tweet. What do you have for us?
Hey, do you know what
Eddie Albert.
What was his name in Green Acres?
Oh, God. I do know one of the guys was Mr. Haney.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Eddie
wasn't
was.
Mr. Haney the one who owned Arnold the Pig?
Mr. Haney. Yeah. You talk like that? Yeah. Eddie Albert was Oliver.
Oliver. And what was Zsa Zsa Gabor's name? Wasn't she the wife?
Yeah. I don't remember.
Find out what her name is. Go to IMDb for me and just tell me in my ear later.
So here's a text from Meredith in Indiana. How long do you think hybrids have walked the earth, and what do you think they want?
Hybrids, of course, apparently being the genetic offspring between extraterrestrials and humans. And if all that is true, they've probably have been here since the beginning of time. They could have been Adam and Eve, for all I know. What do they want? Lots of different possibilities. One is to take over the planet. One is to be able to live in this environment if we can't, so the population continues. And the other is that they go back to the other planet because they need them to keep the planet populated.
So don't you think if they wanted to take over the planet, they would have done it already?
How do you know they haven't?
Depends, I guess, what your definition of take over the planet is.
Well, exactly. But maybe they're in political offices and stuff like that. You never know. Let's go
never
to
do.
Chris in Ontario, Canada. Lots of calls from Canada today. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how are you, Jerk?
Okay, Chris. Good. Thank you.
I just wanted to discuss something. I don't know if many people know about this. I wanted to talk about money and currency.
Okay.
So, a lot of people don't know that currency, money itself, the actual dollar sign, so you got like a slit going for the S. Basically, it looks like an IS, right?
That's right.
Right. That actually stands for investment savings.
Huh.
Now, did you know this? Money all has to do with water. So basically, what is on both sides of the river? You got two banks on both sides of the river.
Two banks. That's right.
Banks. The current and the sea. Money goes like water. Liquidation.
It does go like water.
Exactly. Now, get this. Very interesting. When you are born, your mother delivers you from the womb, which you come from the water. And, you know, like, people always wonder, why are ships named after water?
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, you know, like, a ship is named after a female. In other words, Queen Mary, Her Majesty's Service. You
right.
Know, take her to
unless you're in the Navy, and then that's something else.
Exactly, and you always wonder why that is, because the ship carries cargo, and the female carries cargo, which is...
the baby.
Exactly. Therefore, the man who creates the child inside of the mother manifests the baby, which goes to the the delivery room. So basically, he's manufacturing the actual baby inside of her, and she gives labor in the delivery room. Therefore, when you are born, you get a birth certificate. The ship docks in its berth, and you get delivered to the dock. When you are born, the doctor meets you, and you're delivered.
And you get a manifest or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Who came up with this symbolism?
You know, I've heard this, and I thought about it, and it all comes down to one thing. When you actually open your mind and you see what's going on, wow. You know, it's as if...
You sound like Jordan Maxwell. He does stuff like this. A lot of symbolism.
Right, yeah, I've heard of that, man. There's David, Jordan Maxwell.
Yeah, but Jordan's very good at developing these things. He's probably one of the best out there. Wayne in Statesboro, Georgia, east of the Rockies. Welcome to the program. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, it's great to talk to you. I've listened to Art and you for years.
Thank you.
I'm in my 60s. Stay on the grid. I haul cable.
Not going to give that away. Nope. We'll get that fixed.
I haul cable for Florida Power and Light. I got a bug story, but you saved my life from a UFO last year.
What happened?
I was in I-95 coming out of Florida after making a delivery, and I pulled over to rest area to check my tires. I was at the back of the trailer, and I looked to the east, and I saw this giant flume of smoke and a bright light. And when I saw it, I said, oh, my gosh, it must be an aircraft on fire, or maybe it's a helicopter. And it just got brighter and brighter, and it started coming towards the truck. And I said, you know, I need to get out of here. And I ran to the front of the truck. And as I ran to the front of the truck, all of a sudden, this little small light took off to the horizon. And I said, I finally had a coast-to-coast UFO.
You sure
I get
did.
In the truck, and it's the satellite being launched for Argentina.
Speaking of satellites, in a couple hours, we're going to launch one to Mars, a rocket. People are going to be calling like crazy on that one.
I've seen the shuttle take off in Miami and land in Edwards Air Force Base.
Isn't that awesome?
It is, and I want to toss something out at you. My father was one of the first 16 electronics instructors in the U.S. Navy. Bad boys rape girls, but Violet gives willingly. I had a Heath Kit DX6090 CW transmitter and a Lafayette 10 to 80 meter receiver. I liked electronics, but I have followed the cable business all my life. I was born in April, and you did a good job with Art, and I listen to you at least 5 or 6 times a night. But the grid knowledge is getting out there. North Carolina's light years ahead.
It's starting. It's about time, isn't it?
It is, and stay on it. They had a good satellite story about how satellites could attack the United States and cause issues, and it should be one of the number one concerns for each state, because most of these utility companies are co-ops or part of bigger co-ops, and you have to start it from the ground roots to get it going, and we really need to stay on top of it. I enjoy your show. I've listened to you for years, and this is the first night I got on, but when I saw that flume and that light, I just knew a plane was going to crash. I jumped in the truck. You got the radio on. You said, oh, by the way, they just launched the satellite.
That's right. I remember that night.
Thank
you
very much.
Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate it. Out there in Statesboro, Georgia, we go to Walton, Pennsylvania. Hey, Walter.
Hi, George. It's great to be on with you once again.
You too. How are you today?
Good, George.
Great.
Well, George, as you undoubtedly know in the news, they're vilifying the National Rifle Association, and I've been a member since 1970. And, George, recently in the New York Times about a month ago, retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens said that the Second Amendment is a dinosaur. It's no longer applicable. And, George, I was wondering, have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Roland Freisler?
Yes.
Well, he was, as you know, George, he was the head of the German Supreme Court under the Nazi era. And, George, what we have to remember about the Holocaust, it was all done legally. Hitler was duly and democratically elected, and just because you elect the leader democratically does not mean that you're going to preclude tyranny.
No, of course not, followed him.
Exactly, George. Our Second Amendment is the basic bedrock human right, without which all the other rights are meaningless. They're merely paper rights, George.
Second Amendment will not go away. Don't worry about that.
Well, hopefully not, George. You know, people say that it can't happen here, but remember what the Clintons did in Waco, George.
Well, that was a horrible situation, to be sure. First of all, David Karras should never have been doing what he did, but at the same time, a lot of innocent people got killed in that tragedy, to be sure. Folks, let me tell you, the Second Amendment is something that we need in this country, because look at countries that are controlled by tyranny. They're controlled by people who know that his population cannot be armed, and they then do whatever they want. And you can't do that. You can't do that. I know a lot of tragic and sick things happen on this planet and in this world and in this country. And some of these horrible, unnecessary shootings, we've got to work on better ways to tighten things up. I'm not opposed to that at all. You know, go to the age of 21, better background checks and everything like that. But you cannot do away with the Second Amendment, because if you do that, you do away with our democracy and our freedom. And, Walt, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with more and final open lines. Connie Willis will be on Saturday for you, by the way. No, Lisa Gar. And I'll be on Sunday. And welcome back to Coast. I hope you're going to have a great weekend. We'll be back with you on Sunday. We've got some great shows. Emerging artists again for the first couple hours. I got to tell you, I am really impressed with the emerging artists. I really am. And they just do all kinds of incredible things. By the way, we are running low of our emerging artists stock CDs. We have gone through so many people every Sunday, first Sunday of the month. So send more in to producer Tom, and you could get information at coasttocoastam.com on just where to send them into. But it's time for more emerging artist material. He and I thought we would never have to ask for that. I mean, we had a barrel of these things, but it's time. Let's go back to the phones. Michael's in St. Louis. Welcome to the show. Hi, Michael.
Hi, George. It's good to talk to you. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
It's really great hearing your voice every night, and I love the show. Anyway, I'll try to make this quick.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm 42 years old, pretty smart guy. I freelance as a TV producer for the Higher Education Channel here in St. Louis.
Oh, that's, by the way, yeah. Then you did a great job.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. So anyway, I'm editing at home a package, a piece, and we live in an older home here in St. Louis, probably, I think it's 90 years old. So it has some history. I'm not quite sure what that history is. And I've never had a ghost experience quite this strong, and probably I've never really had an experience at all. Like a lot of people, I've heard some creaking, and you think you hear some things. So anyway, I'm in my office, and this is a house that's a two-family flat. So there is a young girl that lives above us. And above this office is her office. And as most of us, we get people's patterns down with their vehicles, and we know if they're home or not, and you can kind of hear someone's walking around above you. And working from home like I do, I'm sitting there, and I'm editing this package, this piece, and I hear four loud stomps above my head. Really hard, loud stomp.
Yeah.
This was on Tuesday. And you know this probably with editing, you're repeating a lot of the same interview and it's quite annoying. And I didn't have earbuds in at the time.
So uh-huh.
It was pretty loud. I would have used the earbuds had somebody been home or, you know, not to bother somebody else. But nobody was home at this time. The girl upstairs wasn't in there. So these loud footsteps banged right above my head. And I, you know, it startled me, and I stopped editing for a while, and I went outside and kind of just looked around, and I was like, okay, that's kind of strange. So that was Tuesday. Thursday, same thing. I'm editing the same news package. I am listening to the same gentleman that I did the interview with, and I run it pretty loud, you know, with editing. You got to get all the little quirks out. So the same thing happens, and what's crazy, and it really startled me, like I said, I've never had a ghost experience of this nature. The stomps happened. I went for my phone, the cell phone, my iPhone that's in the kitchen. And when I went for my iPhone, and it's a brand new iPhone, never had this happen. My phone did not come on for a good minute.
Oh, geez.
I was stumped. And to be quite honest with you, George, it was sort of comical because I'm not a guy that gets spooked very easily. And it was as if you could feel something around you. When my phone wasn't coming on, I was like, okay, what is going on here?
There's definitely something in that house. Hey, you might remember John Teeter. Those of you who've listened to the program for years, during the 2000-2001 time, he was a poster claiming to be an American military time traveler from 2036. Now, we thought it was a bizarre story until we contacted his attorney. His family had an attorney. His name's Larry Haber from Florida. Larry, can you tell us, first of all, your association with either John Teeter, the time traveler, or the family?
I was contacted by a friend of mine from law school a few years ago and said that he was looking for somebody that did some entertainment law work, which I do, and then explained to me the story that is probably pretty well known to the people that are listening right now. And I said, well, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and I don't believe it. And he said, no, I'll give it a try. I really need some help with this thing. So I went ahead and took the couple of calls and have been involved with it for the last 3 years now.
Are you baffled, perplexed? It is indeed a strange story, is it not?
Baffled, perplexed, and everything in between, sure. I have no idea if any of this is real or not or true or not. I know that they believe it's real. The few times I've had direct contact with the family and the many times I've had it through my friend have led me to believe that these guys really think that everything they keep talking about is absolutely real. But I'm too far removed from it to really get a good handle on it.
Larry, have you met anybody face-to-face?
No, Okay. I have not, except for my friend who, well, I haven't seen him in years. So I know the person that has made the contact with me, but not anybody from the family. Just a couple of phone conversations with John's mom, Kay, and that's all I've had.
Okay, but you still represent them, I assume.
I represent them, that's correct.
Okay, now I understand you have Kay on another line. She does not want to come on the program directly with her voice, but she will answer questions through you. So let me, first of all, ask you if Kay saw John Teeter from the future John Teeter.
Okay, let me ask.
Has Kay seen John Teeter from the future?
She's telling me that when he left in March of 2001, she hasn't seen the older version of him since then.
Since then?
Correct.
Is there a smaller version of John Teeter? And if so, how old is he right now?
There is, and he's about to turn 8 years old.
About to turn 8 years old. Has the 8-year-old John Teeter met the adult John Teeter from the future?
I'm glad I'm asking her that. I couldn't answer any of these things. Hold on. They were together for the 3 years when John was here. The future John was here in the past, I should say. It gets a little confusing.
Did her future son talk to her at all about the family, how long they would live, or anything personal like that?
Kay was pretty insistent that she said that at the time she said, absolutely not, I don't want to know any details of the future, because she was just spooked her. So as far as I can tell from her right now, they have no idea about anything that took place in the future or will take place in the future.
Larry, how did she first come about and meet the John Teeter from the future? How did that all occur for her?
In April of 98, he visited them in Florida and stayed for a couple of months and came back in June and spent the next 3 years with them, but knew how to find him because obviously he knew where he was living back then.
Why did she believe this individual who would probably show up at their doorstep and say, "Hi, Mom, I'm John Teeter."
I'm John, right.
Yeah.
Good one, because, again, that's the biggest one for me to try to figure out. Hold on. Good question. She says the first meeting she knew it was him, but it took her about a day to really accept it or figure it out that it was real or that it really could be real. I don't think she still was convinced that quickly, but, you know, she's telling me I'm trying to repeat the words. How could a mother not know her son, basically?
Even if he's much older.
Right, right.
Was she proud of him?
Basically terrified.
Terrified of him? Why?
Terrified. I think it's for the same reason, not wanting to be on the phone now or get more involved than it this way. Just when you get hit with something like that, she said, basically, I'm not that sophisticated a person, and to get hit with something like that, it was, you know, why would my son come back? What's wrong in the future? What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to everybody? And so on. So it took her a while to get over the fear, you know, very afraid, very fearful, almost terrified, I think, from given the way her voice sounds.
Is she pretty well convinced that John went back to his own time era, or has he moved on to other time periods?
She doesn't personally believe he went anywhere else. He really didn't enjoy what he went to do the first time around, and she thinks that he probably would have stayed and not accepted going taking another assignment.
Okay, so if I understand you, she thinks that John Teeter from the future is still here in our time period.
No, is in his current time frame in the future.
She went back there.
Didn't do any more time traveling, right.
Okay.
And that's part of the reason why he probably hasn't been back here.
Understand. There is a book that is being sold now. It's called John Teeter, A Time Traveler's Tale. It's a paperback. It's by John Teeter. I assume is written by the mother. Do you, Larry, as the attorney, do you have anything to do with that? Do you represent them on that at all?
Just in terms of getting the publishing, I mean, I can tell you that all I was responsible for was to make sure that the copyrights were filed correct, and the things really incidental to it, but had no other involvement with the book itself.
Self-published, or is there a big publisher
behind it? Self-published.
No,
self-published.
Okay. Is there anything else on the horizon with regards to this John Teeter story that you know of?
Well, I am aware of a movie. Kay had hired me, or actually continued to hire me, but asked me to... about a year ago to take a look at making some type of video or film about the story so that it would be more widely known than just what's out there now. And so because I do entertainment work, I'm in Orlando and do work with a lot of video companies. One of those companies is working on a film. I have no idea what stage they're at. They told me that they've spent some time with some phone interviews and they were going to put something together for release this year, but I haven't seen anything or really don't know much more about it other than that.
I'm sure the family wishes to remain somewhat anonymous, so they moved from Florida to someplace in the Midwest, I understand?
Nebraska, from what I understand, but that's just what they're telling me. I couldn't tell you if that's really where they're calling from. When they call me, it's no caller ID.
Okay, so she is relatively confidential still, I assume.
Correct, and wants to remain that way. That's the problem. I've probably only talked to her 3-4 times out of the whole couple of year period, and most of it is just through either emails or through a friend of mine that relays messages.
Well, there are a couple of possibilities, Larry, as you know and as you mentioned at the outset. Either it is a true story that there is indeed time traveling going on in the future and that some of these individuals, including John Teeter, have come back into our time period to warn us about some events, or this may be one of the most methodically thought-out hoaxes I've ever heard of, in that most hoaxes occur and they go away. This thing it seems to be well planned and well thought out as an event.
Yeah, and it's funny for me because I'm so incidental to it. I've got a full law practice and I do a whole bunch of other things, and I don't even have much time to spend on the internet to even look at it. And then when it pops up, I get all wrapped up in it again for a day or two, and then it goes away for a while, and then it comes back again.
You may be
very, very interesting for me, too.
You may be the only attorney to represent a family or a time traveler from the future.
And I am very interested in the sciences and the possibility of that, so I keep going along, and hopefully I'll find out, too, someday.
You're not getting paid in $2,036, dollars, are you?
No. At least that part of it's current.
So
but again, I'm not doing a whole lot of work. That's why I don't really get that involved with it on a day-to-day basis. It's usually just some quick questions or how do we clear this or do you know somebody that can produce this kind of thing. So I really do very minimal work. My involvement with stuff like this and interview, and even I got interviewed for a documentary that was out that was produced last year, that takes up a lot more of the time than anything I've ever billed for, but it's been fun.
In your entire law practice career, is this got to be one of the strangest cases you've ever had?
This is the best. That's why I enjoy doing it.
So there's talk that this was the creation, Teeter was the creation of Larry Haber and his brother, a computer scientist. I've got to track them down and do an update.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century, your voice is always welcome here. Space transmitter or your telephone.
Monty, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lautasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burleson, George Knapp. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.